Hello, ladies. I was going to say good morning, but it is afternoon. Good afternoon. Let me put my timer on here. Good morning, ladies. I am so humbled and thankful to the God of heaven for allowing me to be able to stand here this beautiful afternoon, to be here this beautiful morning with you all, and for me to have the opportunity to expound on those wonderful lessons of encouragement given to us by our sister Charlia and sister Bethany. Before we continue, we would like to thank the Southeast congregation, the leadership, and the ladies here for all their hard work to make this Ladies' Day come to fruition. When I first spoke with Sister Tamia and Sister Laura, what they wanted most of all is for us women who strive to live godly in this dark world to be encouraged. So we are here today for one purpose and one purpose only, to glorify God by hopefully encouraging you all with his holy word. And let me just say to all of you, you look beautiful. All of you, you look like a sea of beautiful faces. And I know if I feel that way, I can only imagine how God feels. So I just want to thank y'all for coming out this morning to be with us. I'm going to dare to speak for all of us this morning that we came out here today because we need God and his word, and that we can't move forward in this life without him. We ebbed our way out of our homes. Remember, ebb, that sister, the ebb of self-encouragement that Sister Charlia talked about? We ebbed out of our homes, our jobs, or wherever we may be coming from. That's movement, y'all. And when all is said and done, God willing, we are going to be flowing forth when we leave here today. Remember flowing forth of encouraging others that Sister Bethany talked about? We're going to be flowing forth back out of this place to our homes or jobs or wherever we may go. That's also movement, y'all. For us to learn and grow, we need to draw near to God and his word. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our very being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Ladies, Paul is telling us that God created all things and has determined boundaries in life so that we would seek him. The prophet Isaiah tells us the same thing. And I think Sister Charlia used Isaiah in her lesson this morning. If you have your Bibles, ladies, if you would please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're gonna read all the verses in chapter 55, 13 verses, and the Bible reads. Oh, and by the way, I will be reading from this scripture from the New American Standard Bible. And the Bible reads, "You there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine, and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will be called a nation you do not know, and a nation which does not know you will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon his ways, and the unrighteous person his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it produce and sprout and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led in peace. The mountains and the hills will break into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the juniper will come up, and instead of the stinging nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord, an everlasting sign which will not be eliminated. Ladies, the prophet Isaiah is encouraging us to pay attention. That's what that you there is. And I believe the King James Version says, ho. Every one of us, pay attention. Every one of us that who thirsts this morning needs to listen to the offer that is being made before we can move forward, ladies. We must realize that all of us are thirsty, even those who did not come out this morning. Some of us try to hide this thirst, and some of us even try to ignore this thirst. When we feel empty inside, ladies, and every human experiences this emptiness, Isaiah says that is thirst. He says there is water available. Come to the waters. That desire we have to understand our lives and why we are here and how we can be happy and satisfied is that thirst. Sometimes we will try to fill that thirst with the false waters of the world. Remember what Sister Charlia told us about being a friend of God, God the best encourager ever, and putting our trust in anything else, how it will cause us to practice sinful behaviors and to think that sin will quench our thirst, but it won't. Even when God has turned you over to a reprobate mind. But Isaiah says, for those of us who desire something that lasts, something deeper, and something satisfying, God has given us what we need. His unfailing love, compassion, and his covenant with David. That includes all who have obeyed the gospel. God has glorified his servant, Jesus, and has caused the whole world to run to him. But we must seek him while he is near. This opportunity to seek him will not last forever. It's a limited opportunity, ladies. Isaiah tells us to stop going with what and how we think things should be, to set that thinking aside. That's called repentance. We are not God, nor do we think like him. We must make a change from our thoughts to his thoughts. It's the word of God that gives life, not ours. This is the only way we can seek the Lord. We seek him through his word that he has given us, the Holy Bible. His word sets us free from this evil world that wants to keep us upset all the time, unhappy with our lives, confused and discouraged. When we start feeling that way, ladies, we need to hurry up and seek God through his word and prayer. This morning, it is our goal to look at only three encouraging things from God. Now, we know we could go all day, and we're almost going all day. We could go all day. We could. We could go all day. Look at all the stuff we have found encouraging in the Bible. We could go all day because the Bible is full of encouragement. But we're just going to look at three. So the first encouragement is going to come from his creation, because I love his creation so much. I love the earth. I love the water. I love the mountains. I love the sun, the moon. I'm always looking at them and admiring them and knowing that if I don't have nothing else, I know there's a God, because I can see all of this beautiful stuff. The Bible tells us God created the sun and moon on day four of the creation week, speaking them into existence. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. And I will be reading from the King James Version. And God said, "Let there be light, lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Ladies, let's pretend we're driving in a car right now, and I'm driving. I'm going east. I'm looking east. Y'all driving. Y'all going west. Okay. So I'm driving, and I was driving with my husband last month, and he's an elder evangelist, and I do most of the driving wherever we go. I'm the driver because he has glaucoma and he doesn't see well. So I do all the driving. And so we were leaving, I believe, the viewing of a saint that had passed away. And seems like within the past few months, a lot of saints were dying one right after the other. And so we were very busy, and but we know that what the Bible says about saints that die, they're blessed. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. So it was a good thing, but we were tired, and so we were driving on 410 in San Antonio. I'm going east trying to go home. I never knew how much encouragement I got from seeing a sunset. My husband was talking as we rolled along, and all of a sudden I saw the sun setting. Then it hit me, wait a minute, we're going east. And the sun sets in the west. And I started panicking. That was a scary feeling for me. It was setting. It was not high up in the sky, it was setting. When the sun sets, it's down low. So I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and I'm looking in, you know, to see if I can see it behind me, and all I can see is cars and buildings. And but I kept looking forward, and I saw the sun setting in front of me. And so unbeknownst to me, ladies, at that time, I was starting to lean to my own understanding. I was tired, y'all, worn out. It had been a busy week, and we had been moving nonstop. My husband was still talking and started to fade out as I was looking at this. His voice was fading out. He started to sound like the adult sound on Charlie Brown, wham, wham, wham. And I'm looking, you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, the sun is setting in the east. And so, ladies, I started to put my hope in something else rather than what we had just read in Genesis 1, that God set these lights. He set them in the firmament. And I can't tell you how many times I have heard Genesis 1 read on my own, let alone the number of times I've heard it in a sermon or a Bible class or while we're teaching the kids, studying for Bible bowl. I knew that it was true. And we encourage you today, ladies, that when you start going crazy, when things start going crazy in your life or when you're feeling down, it could be because we are ebbing away from God. Yes. Moving away from God. We must trust God and rely on His word to bring us through, and it will and it does every time. The proverbial writer, remember King Solomon that Charlia told us about, the wisest man on earth, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Ladies, God allowed me to get close enough to that building to see that it was man-made with glass, showing a reflection of the sun setting behind us. Whew, I was like, whew, yes, just like that. That glass tried to mislead me, causing a delusion. Causing a delusion. Satan does the same thing to us when we're weak. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God never fails, ladies. I was so happy when I saw that reflection, knowing that the sun was setting behind me. My husband's voice started tuning back in. He was still talking. I told him I didn't hear a word you said, because I just thought the sun was sitting in the east. He just looked at me and kept talking. Ladies, be encouraged in knowing that there are things happening in God's creation that we don't always see every day, because we're either inside or sleeping or just not witnessing it. Do you see the sun set every day? Do you see it rise every day? Yet it does. I know some of you are still working full time and you might see it, you know, going to work and coming home. I know I used to. When I was working full time, I would see it rise and I would see it set. But we don't always see it, but it's still, there's still movement going on in God's creation. Sister Charlia showed us about ebb and flow and how it is used to describe when the tide of a body or water is low or high. The Webster Dictionary defines tide as the alternate rising and falling of the surface of the ocean that occurs twice a day and is caused by the gravitational attraction of the sun and the moon occurring on unequally on different parts of the earth. That is so amazing. God knows, sees, and controls all parts of the earth. That's power, y'all. God is all-knowing. Look, sometimes I don't even want to know some things. I'll say, nope, just don't tell me. Keep it to yourself. Or, ooh, I don't even want to see that. I cover my eyes, but you know, God sees everything. He is everywhere. We can move from city to city or country to country, but we can't hide from God. That's power, y'all. He is omnipotent, like Sister Charlia told us. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere, just like Sister Charlia told us about. The water, to me, y'all, has always been a powerful source of God. I will look at it from dry land, but you won't get me out on a cruise ship, because I know how powerful it is. This movement of the waters is something that still baffles people to this day, when all they need to do is read and believe the word of God and that it was created by him. According to TideForecast.com, the first high tide for Corpus Christi, Texas today, October 26, 2024, was at 1:35 a.m. Most of us were probably sleeping. I know I was. And the first low tide was at 8:17 a.m. Most of us were probably on our way here, or if not already here. The next high tide today was scheduled for 9:21 a.m. And the next low tide today is scheduled to be at 5:56. So the water is constantly moving. The rise and fall movement of the waters, ladies, is not just some phenomenon that occurs twice daily. We just read about it in Genesis chapter 1, that the tides were created by God. And just to be clear, let us read about who was involved in the creation. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There is no ebb and flow in God's creation without Jesus. And as powerful as God's creation, the earth is, it does not have the power to save man, but Jesus does. Things seem to flow so much better when we follow Jesus. We as humans often describe times in our lives as having highs and lows or ups and downs. Unlike the waters, we don't have a set time for these highs and lows to occur in our life. And even then, with the waters, a storm can come out of nowhere and alter the normal rhythm or flow of the waters, as we have all just witnessed, seen in the hurricanes in the past few months. And storms can come in our lives as well. Sister Bethany gave us the beautiful story about the storm in Mark, about how we can become fearful, hopeless, and troubled when we doubt Christ's care. We don't have to feel that way. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John chapter 14, verse 27. There was a female singer from back in the early 1900s by the name of Florence Foster Jenkins. She experienced highs and lows in her life. She was an American socialite, an amateur soprano, who was often made fun of for her flamboyant or elaborate costumes and her poor singing ability. She could not sing, y'all. Well, let me rephrase that. She could sing, but not in tune. She was what we might call tone deaf, or not able to carry a tune, but she loved to sing. Not all of us have beautiful voices like Sister Lucy or Sister Destiny. I love to sing, and every now and then in worship, my voice gives out in cracks, and I'll see the young girls smile at me, and I'll smile back at them. I am so thankful that we don't make fun of each other when we are offering up worship to our God like they did Florence Foster Jenkins. Florence was once said, "People may say I can't sing, but no one can say I didn't sing." Can you imagine having to listen to someone who can't sing all day and all night long? That's what God does, and that's acceptable worship to him. We as Christians are commanded to sing, not by our choice, but because that's how God wants us to praise and worship him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 tells us, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." God controls his worship, not us. Which leads me to our second source of encouragement, the encouragement that we have from God's providence. God created man in his image, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Unlike animals, we were created in the image of God, and he just did not create us for no reason. He created us because he had a plan. He had a scheme of how we were going to live through this life. That's called God's providence. Sister Charlia told us about the wisest man on earth, King Solomon, and what his conclusion was. Y'all remember that? To fear God and keep his commandments. But let's hear what Solomon had to say before he came to that conclusion. He's going to tell us about the foolishness of seeking happiness by chasing after worldly wisdom, pleasure, and wealth. He's going to remind us that there are things that are beyond our control in this world. Please turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And I will be reading this from the New American Standard Bible. And the Bible reads, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every matter under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war for war and a time for peace. What benefits is there for the worker from which that in which he labors? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of mankind with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart without the possibility that mankind will find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every person who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. And God has so worked that people will fear him. That which is what has already been. And that which will be has already been. And God seeks what has passed. In verse 11 of this text, the Bible says that he has set eternity in our hearts. Those are encouraging words, ladies. Sister Bethany told us how Jesus used encouraging words. And here we see God using these encouraging words. He has set eternity in our hearts. The King James Bible says he has set the world in their heart. If you go back to the original text, the Hebrew word for world is olam, meaning eternal or eternity. It also says that God set it in our hearts, just like he set the sun and moon in the firmament. When you go back to the original text, they both carry the same meaning. The Hebrew word for set is nothing, and it means to place. God is in control and is our greatest encourager. These encouraging words for us that God has placed in our hearts to think on eternity in between our ups and downs, our highs and lows, we need to think on them before we die while the blood is still running warm in our veins. Life is like a pendulum. We went to one funeral for a saint, and the gospel preacher gave an example. He used the same scripture as life being like a pendulum that swings to and fro. And some people say life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But in this case, the pendulum swings to and fro from good times to bad times. And it does this until the cycle is complete. And then the process repeats itself for each generation to come. Somewhere in between the swing, y'all, we all need to take time out and think about eternity. God has placed it in our hearts. We need to take time out to think on. Paul tells us what to think on. Finally, my brethren, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are comforting words. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma movie. I might be telling my age. But I was a little kid. I remember looking at Oklahoma. And they sang something like this song, "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. There are some people that actually feel that way, y'all. They got a big head, and they feel like that. And this pendulum is steadily going. Don't forget that pendulum. You just might die while thinking that way. While God has placed eternity in our hearts for those times when we think that things are going good, so that we don't become too complacent or too comfortable with staying here. When things are going good, we still need to think on eternity, because we're not going to stay here. I don't want to stay here. You shouldn't want to stay here. I don't care how good things may seem. Don't get complacent with staying here. No, ladies, we don't want to get comfortable living here on earth. God has placed eternity in our hearts for those times when things are not going so well, so that we can know that no matter how bad things get, we are not going to stay here. Amen. And he will reward or punish accordingly, just as Sister Charlia told us. We all will make our own choice on where we will spend eternity, heaven or hell. And I do want to read you something, because we talk about heaven, but I want to tell you a little bit about the devil and where he's going and where we don't want to go. I want to encourage us not to want to go. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." I encourage us, ladies, not to want to go there. Don't think on that. You can think about that eternity. It's real, just like heaven is real, but we don't want to go there. Just like Sister Charlia told us, God is fair, not forceful, which leads us to our third and final encouragement, the encouragement from the heart. As we live our lives in Christ, the encouragement we have in our hearts should make us want to flow forth and share the gospel with all those we encounter. There was a sister that used to live here by the name of Sister Tatum, Mary Tatum. Some of y'all probably know her. And if you do, you know what I'm saying is true. I always wanted to have the courage that she had. This sister would ask everyone she encountered, "Do you know the Lord?" If you were ashamed of the gospel, you better not go anywhere with Sister Tatum, because she was going to flow forth with it. And shame on anyone who is ashamed of the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Sister Bethany told us to spur to action. And what better thing can we do? Let's encourage others to obey the gospel by doing what Jesus has commanded us to do in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen." We can't get to heaven, ladies, without Jesus and teaching others the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. "Moreover, I declare unto you, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel is encouraging for those who are seeking the truth of God's word. Something happens in the heart. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Ladies, we encourage you today to flow forth by living righteous lives before God and mankind. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And while you keep your heart, encourage others to do the same. Sister Bethany told us about the golden rule and the silver rule, and we should avoid the silver rule because it discourages others. It causes us not to do something for somebody or not support them just because we don't want to do it or because it's not something that interests us. That's no movement at all. It requires no movement at all to do the silver rule. And I've done the silver rule before, ladies, not because my hair is silver, but I've done it before. My daughter had asked me one day, Mom, I need for you to go to my grandson's school for art class, and his homeschool teacher's in here. And she was like, I have to work. And I was like, okay. And she was like, now, Mom, I know that this is out of your league. I don't have the skills as you, Sister Bethany and Sister Hannah in art. I don't. And for all my children's art classes, my husband would always be the one to go. But for this particular day, it was just the moms that had to be there. So my daughter was like, if you don't feel comfortable, Mom, I understand. I know this is not your forte. I can take off work. And I was like, no, I got it. I'll do it, you know. And so one day I was thinking about it, and I actually called my grandson. His name is Isaac. And he's pretty straightforward, and he tells you like it is, the truth. And so I called him one day, and I said, hello. I was like, hi, Isaac. I was like, you know, your Nana is going with you to the art class. And he was like, I know. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, so what do you think? I said, do you think we'll be okay? And he was like, it paused for a minute, and he was like, yeah, we'll be okay. And so that day when I showed up and walked in the room, he turned and saw me, and he was like, Nana! And so it ended up being good and fun, and we made clay bowls, and then we made the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. It ended up being a good time. I have found that whenever I encourage someone, I end up being even more encouraged. Sister Bethany told us God sees our potential, and we don't know what God has in store for others. My grandson could end up being a gospel preacher. The golden rule, on the other hand, requires movement. Whatever you want others to do for you, do that for others. I am so encouraged by you all being here to encourage us, and I'm encouraged by my sisters in Christ from Fort Sam, especially one of them that changed her plans, Sister Dorothy, just so she could be here today to encourage me. And it's just been so encouraging for all of you to come out to move like you did today. And we appreciate it. So ladies, in this life, let us be sure to encourage ourselves as well as others. And remember what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. At the ripe old age of 76, Florence Foster Jenkins would sing one more time publicly before she died. Giving in to public demand, she booked one of Carnegie Hall's auditoriums in New York City, New York, for a general admission. She sung with her off-key and off-rhythm voice, and she filled every seat in that hall. Ladies, heaven will be filled with souls, a number that is too many to be counted, of all those who lived faithful unto death, worshiping God throughout eternity. The price of admission has already been paid by Jesus. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John tells us about a vision of heaven that he saw. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 15. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 15. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders responded, saying to me, "These who are clothed in white robes, who are they? And where have they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them." There were a couple of things I noticed from what John sees here in this vision of heaven, where God and Jesus are. First, heaven is going to be filled with so many in the multitude, too many to be counted. It reminded me of what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 through 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Another thing I noticed was that there will be no prejudice in heaven. John saw every nation and all the tribes, peoples, and languages. It reminded me of Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Let's be encouraged and encourage others to live our lives in Christ Jesus while we are here on earth, which is only temporary, so that we can live with Jesus in his Father's house eternally. Ladies, the lesson is yours.